is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Chapter 9, A New Mission. Oh shit, where's the... Someone takes the stack of papers directly out of Shang Qinghua's hands while he's distracted. Shang Qinghua would grab them back and make a show of defending them with his life, because he is not fucking redoing them. Fuck you, Changmin Shixiang, part-time bro among bros and part-time unrepentant asshole. Except that there's a second disciple involved in this ambush. A second pair of hands shoves him firmly towards the door before he can fight back. What the? Chifu, we can get these to Changding Peak from here, Lin Wenjiao says at his back, showing absolutely none of the respect due to Shang Qinghua as an immortal master and a peak lord. Fuck, is she taller than him now? When the fuck did she get taller than him? At least Peng Hong Peng is still of loyal height. Not all those go to... Peng Hong Peng dances smoothly away with the stolen papers, handing some of them off to a third Anding Peak disciple and disloyal conspirator. Yes, Shifu, he says quickly. First stack goes to the sect leader himself, or Master Ma, only. Second stat goes to the Changding Peak messengers. Third stat goes to Qingjing Peak, to Shun Shibo's desk specifically. But if not to him, then to anyone except that woman who keeps losing papers. And this little scroll goes to Mu Shishu, directly into his hands and not left on his desk, to get lost. Wait, that's right. Shang Qinghua says, surprised. Competence? On his Anding Peak? This is either a miracle or a coup. Shang Qinghua could really use another vacation. An actual vacation. A real vacation. So he's kind of hoping this is a coup. Lin Wenjiao laughs as she continues to push him toward the door. We've only heard you recite the to-do list 100 times today, Shifu, Peng Hong Peng says airily, the red acne on his cheeks shifting as he repeatedly tries and fails to keep from grinning. Cultivating towards immortality is supposed to give people flawless skin or something, but the disciples still have to get all the way through puberty and actually achieve that stage first before that can be tested. And this spotty teenage boy isn't there yet. Perhaps Shifu could recite it one more time for this lowly disciple. This disciple will pretend to forget so that his master may bestow his wisdom. Peng Hong Peng continues, still totally failing to not smile. No, he's completely disloyal too. Shang Qinghua decides immediately. Bring back shrimp dumplings this time, Shifu, Lin Wenjiao insists, with a final shove. Do the other peak lords get pushed around by their conniving young teenage disciples like this? Shang Qinghua doubts it. Most of the other peak lords cultivate an aura of, I will have you thrown off the mountain if you dare to disrespect me by accidentally stepping on my robes. Shang Qinghua has, unfortunately, ended up cultivating an air of, if you step on my robes, on purpose or by accident, I'll probably fall on my face, and it'll be really funny, like someone stepping on a banana peel or a rake. Chun Xuan's head snaps up at the mention of food, from where she's sorting through the Changding Peak papers that Peng Hong Peng has given her. Oh, with the red sauce! Shang Qinghua stops in the doorway at this outrageous fucking insolence. even sneering on Ding Peak contemporaries who have tried to have him somehow disposed to take his position, greedy cultivators from other peaks who have gone behind his back to sell off sect shit, and slimy outsiders trying to otherwise topple or trouble Chung Chung Mountain Sect haven't been this egregiously shameless in their scheming. What the fuck is this shit? Shang Tinghua has experienced assassination attempts that haven't been this gutsy. He looks down his nose at all of them. Mooches and thieves don't get to make requests, he snaps. You're disciples of Chang Chang Mountain Sect, not spoiled young masters. Who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? I'm not running a restaurant here. Pork and cabbage is good too, Lin Wenjiao says, unfazed. Ah, if Shang Qinghua could go years back in time and redo just one little thing, if his shitty no-good system would allow such a thing, it would be indulging the disciples. Teaching them is absolutely worthless because they only learn all the wrong things. Or, at least, they use them in all the wrong ways. Getting more of them in the last Chang Chang Mountain Sect entrance tests did not help, because the older ones fill the little baby disciples' heads with ridiculous lies, scheming ungrateful uppity brats. Shifu, I heard from one of my Baichan Peak acquaintances that you're supposed to be meeting Liu Shishu to go down the mountain together, Peng Hongpeng says, with innocence that Shang Qinghua could only pretend to believe. And yet, fuck. Shang Qinghua has no choice but to take the bait. Fine, I'm going. Shang Qinghua cries, throwing up his hands, leaving these disciples to the consequences of their conspiracy. I'm leaving the mountain now. You don't have any idea where I've gone, and I'm not to be disturbed for any reason. No matter what happens, don't come running to me. If someone dies, hide the body before I get back, because I don't want to know. Nothing that happens for the rest of the day is a Shifu problem. Got it? Yes, Shifu, Peng Hongpeng says, with an insultingly low bow that is absolutely meant to mock his overworked, unappreciated, betrayed master. Bye, Shifu, Chen Xuan calls after him. Have a good time. Shang Qinghua knows for sure that he's been betrayed when he goes to Baichan Peak, only to be told by a waiting cultivator that Liu Qinghua hasn't been seen near the Tiangong mountain range for at least a week. A week? A week? Peng Hongpeng had to know that. The Baichan Peak cultivator tells him that their wandering peak lord is meant to be back later today or tomorrow. But then she just shrugs. Because, well, it's good old Liu Shidi, so who fucking knows what that really means? The man could be back tomorrow. He could be back in another week. He could be back in another 2 weeks, probably dragging the corpse of some demonic creature that's supposed to be unkillable. Would have left Liu Qinghua alone if he hadn't been invading some remote and unlivable location, and that sometimes even ends up starting a delightful intersect territory dispute for Yue Qingyuan, Shen Qingqiu, and Shang Qinghua to enjoy dealing with together. Shang Qinghua is much more concerned with having to explain to Luo Jiahui that the offensively pretty brute who she kind of likes ditched her. What the fuck, Liu Qinghua? What kind of person would ditch seeing Luo Jiahui in favor of wrestling monsters? Shang Qinghua has vouched for his younger martial brother, and his trust has been shattered into 1,000 pieces. And for what? Sure, maybe this is his first offense, but Shang Qinghua's sister-in-law deserves better. Zhang Tinghua sneaks his way down to Sanjiao Town, thinking some very unkind thoughts about his errant Shuri and about flaky, too good-looking jocks in general. Maybe Mu Qingfang's grumpy statements after Zhang Tinghua and Liu Qingge's disastrous and unspeakable mission were correct after all. If it were anyone else in the world, I'd accuse them of falling into succubus dens this frequently on purpose, Zhang Tinghua mutters, kicking an offensively placed pebble, imagining that it's a war god's head. Well, maybe it is on purpose. Who knows? He puts up the abstinent and celibate and noble act for one horrible mission of broship with his Shixiang, then, bam, goes back to... Wait. Liu Shuri can't act. Zhang Tinghua stands in the streets of Sanjiao Town and reevaluates. Oh no, what if he's late because he's dead? Zhang Tinghua realizes, thinking of the trouble that he knows for a fact Liu Qingge throws himself into. System, bro, is he fucking dead? What the fuck am I going to tell Jia Hui? All those efforts to shove calming teas and new meditation techniques down Liu Qingge's throat wasted, giving Mu Qingfang some of Zhang Tinghua's carefully curated and extremely precious plot devices in order to help Liu Qingge and Shun fucking Qing Chu deal with their respective self-destructive tendencies, wasted. Those painful and humiliating system missions, wasted. Good old Liu Shuri has probably gotten himself killed punching shark demons in an underwater volcano or some other intensely meat-headed bullshit, because that's just how he rolls. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Zhang Tinghua tried to help the man, but it just wasn't enough. Zhang Tinghua is this fucking close to flying back up the mountain and kicking down Yue Qingyuan's door for help when he runs into none other than Liu Qingge, good old Liu Shuri, who is, against all the odds, not dead yet. Ah, of course, a part of Zhang Tinghua nods knowingly. There hasn't been sufficient proximity to Shen Qingqiu. He doesn't know if the system is going to try to force the issue of Liu Qingge's death or not, which is a major source of stress that sits neatly among all of his many other sources of stress. But he at least knows that it's not the right time and place for the plot to push the tragedy as it happened in Proud Immortal Demon Way.
You're late,
Liu Qingge says. It looks like Zhang Tinghua is going to be the one to kill Liu Qingge in this world. Okay, that's fine. Zhang Tinghua has a lot to say to that statement, most of which involves words that he's not allowed to say and gestures that he's not allowed to make within a certain distance to his sister-in-law's house. Even though he's like 99% certain that clever little Binghe knows a lot more bad words than his mama wants him to know, and that the fault almost certainly lies with Granny Sun and Auntie Ting Ting. Anyway, seriously? Fuck you, Liu Qingge. This overworked and underappreciated Shixiang was actually considering getting upset over your untimely death. See if I put so much effort into lessening Mu Qingfang's many burdens now. Zhang Tinghua thinks. I had work, Zhang Tinghua says. You know, work?
No,
Liu Qingge says. Zhang Tinghua sputters, bewildered. What the fuck? Well, some of us do work on our peaks every day, he insists, completely wrong-footed. What does Liu Qingge mean, no? Liu Qingge looks unimpressed. He is unimpressed as only a man who got his position by beating the shit out of his predecessor and whose successor, so he believes, will be the unlikely Baichan Peak disciple who manages the impossible and successfully kicks the shit out of him, can be.
If the work happens every day, you should have been prepared for it.
Shang Qinghua nearly sputters again before realizing that his shirty is teasing him. Liu Qingge's arms may be crossed, but he's smiling very slightly, and Shang Qinghua is suddenly very sure that he's being teased. What the fuck? Liu Shudi, you stop that right now. You're not allowed to do that, he thinks, stunned and furious. As soon as Shang Qinghua narrows his eyes, Liu Qingge lets himself smile fully, then slaps Shang Qinghua on the shoulder.
Come on, he says. I was coming to look for you. I brought another guest.
What? It took Shang Qinghua an embarrassingly long time to realize this, but Luo Jiahui, although a people pleaser, very like Shang Qinghua, and a people person, not at all like Shang Qinghua, doesn't actually really like having people in her house. Not without brother-in-law or granny's son present too. Definitely not strangers. And Liu Qingge dared to show up early and to bring some random guest? Who? Shang Qinghua asks, dubious.
You'll see,
Liu Qingge says. Oh, Liu Qingge has learned to obfuscate now as well as tease? That's extra not allowed. Who has been teaching him how to do these things? Shang Qinghua thinks. System bro, surely this character development is illegal, isn't it? The only person who Shang Qinghua sees upon entering his sister-in-law's house is Luo Jiahui, who greets him as warmly as she always does. She puts aside whatever piece of food preparation she was busying herself with, even though it's unnecessary, and gives him a welcoming hug. Hello, sister-in-law, Shang Qinghua says, hugging her back. Luo Jiahui pats him on the cheek and says, Have you stopped bringing food up the mountain entirely? You're too thin. Ah, sister-in-law is the only person in the world to have that opinion, I think, Shang Qinghua answers, never totally sure whether she's teasing him or if she's totally serious. Warmed either way.
It's all the training that he does,
Liu Qingge pronounces. Eh? Shang Qinghua could definitely be a worse practitioner of his martial and spiritual abilities. His sticky disciples looping him into things and panic attacks about the future force him to have a workout schedule. But he's really not anywhere close to the standards of someone like Liu Qingge. Where the fuck did this come from? Ah, Liu Qingge is teasing him again. Oh, is training too hard what made Hua Ge so late? Luo Jiahui asks knowingly, tisking at him. He should spend some more time at his desk getting his work done. I'm being attacked from all sides today, Shang Qinghua announces in complaint. And if it's anyone's fault, it's sister-in-law's fault. When she finally opens her world-famous restaurant, my disciples will be her most loyal customers. Until then, my greedy disciples are only learning their techniques from beggars and leeches out of desperation. Luo Jiahui turns a little pink. I'm sure that they're very cute and obedient leeches, she says kindly.
Liu Qingge snorts.
Ah, they're really not, Shang Qinghua agrees, looking at the master of avoiding disciples with no small amount of envy. Slyly, he says, sister-in-law should really ask Liu Shudi how his disciples are coming along sometime.
Liu Qingge's smirk drops immediately.
Ha! Take that, Liu Qingge. So, where is this guest that Liu Shudi was telling me about? Shang Qinghua asks, unable to see this mysterious invader. Liu Shidi wouldn't say, so it has to be someone very scary whose name alone would send me running back a... Oh, don't curse, Luo Jiahui says. Shang Qinghua only barely manages to keep his curses inside. It's a tight squeeze, though. He needs to spew curse words in order to make way for the sudden rise in sheer terror inside of him. Madame Liu isn't here, is she? He's not prepared to deal with her. He's definitely not prepared to deal with her in the mode of a potential mother-in-law, which she is definitely sharp-eyed enough to notice is a possible situation here. Shang Qinghua is pretty sure that he's had nightmares about this exact situation, but he's been putting off preparation, and now it's come back to bite him. Aw, fuck. He doesn't even have Qi Qing Qi here to throw into Madame Liu's path so that he can run away this time. Liu Shidi, you're back on the shit list for this shitty move. Permanently, he thinks.
No, Liu Qingge says, smirking again. But close.
Close? Come see, Luo Jiahui says, with a much more gentle smile, raising a finger to her lips. But be quiet, please. Sneaky steps. Close? Shang Qinghua repeats in a desperate whisper. But neither Luo Jiahui nor Liu Qingge offer him any mercy. He's probably not supposed to feel like they're sneaking up on a terrible beast here and intent on feeding him to it. But he gets that feeling anyway, with his anxious imagination left to fend for itself. Sister-in-law, please, you know your poor fake brother-in-law doesn't like surprises, he thinks, being dragged silently through the house. Then he thinks, oh. There are two children sitting on the floor of Luo Binghe's room. There are two dark heads bent over books, which have been laid out all across the floor. The fluffy head of the protagonist is easy enough to spot, of course, even without a visible manifestation of a golden halo. The other head belongs to a much taller child, with a scarf tied over the bottom half of their face. But it'd take a lot more than that to hide the painful resemblance to Liu Qingge. The older child is reading one of the older picture books aloud, very intently. Luo Binghe is also intent on this activity, but not so much that he doesn't notice that they're being watched. He looks up and brightens. Ah, there really might as well be a golden halo glowing behind his head. It would be just as bright. Uncle! Luo Binghe pops to his feet, hops around the mess of books, and throws himself into Shang Qinghua's stomach. Shang Qinghua is very experienced with children now. At least, he's experienced enough now to know how to brace for impact. And Luo Binghe, 6 years old now, is old enough to understand the great importance of aim. Shang Qinghua has, at the very least, experienced enough of children to appreciate this improved aim. He ruffles the curls of the head buried in his stomach, which is a privilege granted to him by so foolishly involving himself in the plot before his time, and which is also very, very fluffy and soft and satisfying. One day his protagonist's son won't be so small and cute and not super-duper deadly anymore, so Shang Qinghua won't be able to get away with these uncle privileges like head-patting. But it's nice for now. Luo Binghe grins up at him. Oh no, Shang Qinghua cries. What happened to Binghe's mouth? Luo Binghe's grin, which was already OP in its cuteness, widens. He lets go of Shang Qinghua to stretch his bottom lip away from his gums, showing off the slightly bloody hole there. I lost a tooth, he crows. But it's okay, Uncle. It's all fine. Don't worry. Mama said that I'm getting new ones. Ah, Bing Bing. Don't show your uncle like that, Luo Jiahui says.
Oh, that's good, Shang Qinghua says. I thought that my nephew was going to have to go back to eating soft foods and that we'd have to feed him like a baby bird.
Luo Binghe, who has let go of his lip, scrunches his face in confusion. Shang Qinghua pretends to throw up on his nephew. Luo Jiahui giggles.
Huo Hua?
It takes the protagonist a second, but Luo Binghe looks delighted when he understands.
Gross, he declares, but happily. I don't want to eat like that. I like chewing food.
Liu Qingge snorts again.
Oh, Uncle Liu brought his sister to visit, Luo Binghe reports. We're reading together. Mingyan says that she has more books than me at her house, but she hasn't read all my books before, so we're reading them now.
Read all my books before, Luo Jiahui corrects.
That's what I said, Binghe insists.
Shang Qinghua looks past his fake nephew towards his future martial niece, who has been hurriedly tidying up the books into a pile. Liu Mingyan shyly gets to her feet.
She must be 9 years old now, maybe 10 years old. She's taller than Shang Qinghua expected, but that's not surprising when he thinks about it.
Liu Qingge is pretty tall. She's also several years older than the protagonist. She's getting close to disciple age now.
Liu Mingyan looks a lot like her brother. She has the same eyes, the same brows, and the same overall shape to the face, though half of it is hidden underneath the scarf acting as her makeshift veil. The ponytail and simple clothing aren't helping to lessen the family resemblance.
Shang Qinghua feels really weird right now.
Liu Mingyan isn't the first wife that he's heard about since transmigration. Not even close. She's not even the first wife he's met in person. Over the past few years especially, ever since his extremely unwanted system upgrade, Shang Qinghua has had some close calls with his protagonist's sons, many, many love interests. He's never had trouble mentally referring to them as wives before, but right now, Shang Qinghua can't think of Liu Mingyan that way. His nephew is too young for any of that stuff to start, and so is she. He has also mentally referred to this little girl as one of his daughters before, long before he ended up hanging out with Liu Qingge in any fashion, and he can't deal with that, so he's not going to.
Liu Mingyan bows to Shang Qinghua.
Immortal Master Shang.
None of that, please, Shang Qinghua says quickly. Uncle Shang is more than fine from my Shirdi's younger sister and one of my few fans. It's good to finally meet you, Mistress Liu. Welcome, welcome. Several years ago, Liu Qingge asked if he could borrow one of Luo Binghe's one-of-a-kind books to show Liu Mingyan, and Luo Jiahui agreed. Ever since, Liu Qingge has faithfully delivered requests for more tales of the brave hero Binghe and other stories from his much-doted-upon younger sister. Shang Qinghua first went along with it out of bemused novelty. It wasn't too much of a hardship, and then out of the hope that it would make Liu Qingge be a little less Liu Qingge out of gratitude. Which did not work. Now? Shang Qinghua has another fan, of sorts, and he doesn't really know what to do about it. Yet another really weird turn of events in Shang Qinghua's unconventional transmigration experience.
Thank you for the books, Uncle Shang.
Liu Mingyan agrees.
Ha ha, so polite. Liu Shidi, you should learn from your sister. Follow her example. Liu Qingge rolls his eyes.
Why don't we have some snacks and go out into the garden?
Luo Jiahui suggests.
It's a lovely day outside.
Yes, Bing He says excitedly and tugs on Shang Qinghua's hand. Uncle, I made the snacks today. You have to try them. I'll get you one.
He scampers off towards the kitchen, apparently unable to wait.
Luo Binghe, wait for everyone before serving,
Luo Jiahui calls after him.
Did he make it by himself?
Shang Qinghua whispers curiously.
Mostly, Luo Jiahui answers. With help.
Ha ha, he's growing up so fast. Shang Qinghua follows Luo Jiahui to the kitchen. Behind him, he can hear Liu Qingge extracting his younger sister from Luo Binghe's room and books. That's the challenge of child herding that even Shang Qinghua hasn't managed to escape. Good luck with that monster, Liu Qingge.
Mingyan, you can't stay here and read all his books.
I'm almost done.
Liu Mingyan protests.
No, go eat and go outside.
Character profile updated. Liu Mingyan.
Liu Mingyan is pulled away from the books begrudgingly, but without physical force. And the snacks are delicious enough that she stops pouting, obviously, pretty quickly. Some of the snacks are a little lopsided and fall apart quickly, but they're still very good. Shang Qinghua makes sure to tell the protagonist that his cooking skills are coming along very nicely. He's only 6, but Shang Qinghua is sure that his cooking prowess will quickly improve until he's almost as good as his mother. Luo Jiahui pinkens at the praise. Luo Binghe beams and nods.
Mama, this tea is so good,
Luo Binghe insists in turn, as he's done at nearly every meal that Shang Qinghua has attended ever since he learned to talk, complimenting his mother in the limited worldview of the young protagonist is an essential part of mealtimes.
Thank you for the delicious tea. Isn't the tea very delicious, Uncle?
This house always serves the best tea I've ever had, Shang Qinghua says, agreeing with the protagonist immediately. No one serves better tea than my sister-in-law. Very delicious.
Luo Binghe looks at Liu Qingge and Liu Mingyan expectantly.
Very good,
Liu Qingge agrees, amused. Liu Mingyan nods politely. Playtime in the garden happens next. Liu Mingyan lights up again when Luo Binghe goes to fetch some soft wooden swords, among other toys. Shang Qinghua is not surprised when Liu Mingyan picks up one of the small swords and swings it around, that she already has noticeable form. Luo Binghe notices and carefully mimics her movements with a furrowed brow.
Ah, the determination of a budding protagonist.
Persuading Luo Binghe that he is not old enough to have a real sword yet has been a battle. He's 6. He can do morning stretches and such with his adoptive mother and granny son, sure. But Shang Qinghua isn't so indulgent as an uncle that he's about to start training the protagonist to kick ass already. He's too little still, much too young. They've still got lots of time before the plot starts. It's way too soon. Shang Qinghua already nearly died choking when, about a year ago, 5-year-old Binghe came up to him and lied to his face, saying proudly, Mama said that I can have a big sword now, Uncle. Luo Jiahui had many things to say about that scheme.
Mingyan, play,
Liu Qingge snaps. Liu Mingyan actually stomps her foot. It's adorable. But she does turn toward Luo Binghe and say, "What do you want to play?" "We can play one of the book stories," Luo Binghe suggests. Liu Mingyan seems interested in this concept. "Okay," she says, nodding, and then takes control of the situation with the dignity of a general. "We'll act out the last book. You can be Brave Hero Binghe, and I'll be the Veiled Lady Cultivator." Airplane shooting towards the sky nearly dies choking again. Now. Liu Qingge slaps him hard on the back. "Stop helping, Liu Shudi. That hurts."
"Huage, are you all right?"
Luo Jiahui asks, concerned.
I'm fine. I just swallowed air wrong."
Liu Qingge and Luo Jiahui are both looking at him in concern now. Except Liu Qingge's concern looks more like, "This is the guy in charge of Changchong Mountain Sect logistics? This guy? Really? We should maybe invest in a backup guy just in case this guy forgets how to breathe."
"I'll get you some more tea," Luo Jiahui decides.
This leaves Zhang Qinghua and Liu Qingge sitting outside together, watching Liu Mingyan recite made-up lines like she's creating the very concept of theater from scratch, as well as boss an equally serious Luo Binghe around the garden to make sure that he plays his very important part in the story correctly. Luo Binghe has always been a very agreeable playmate, so far as Zhang Qinghua has seen, equally happy to lead or be led around by other children. It's nice to get away from all the airs and stress of the sect like this.
So, your sister is still into the idea of a veil, huh?
Zhang Qinghua comments.
Mother finds the continuing obsession somewhat silly, but it makes Mingyan happy.
Luo Qingge answers.
Mingyan has never liked people commenting on her face.
All those relatives pinching cheeks?
And strangers.
Liu Qingge says, then adds,
"It's annoying."
Zhang Qinghua laughs, mostly out of general humor. He doesn't want to think about how often someone tried to kidnap Liu Mingyan in Proud Immortal Demon Way due to rumors of her incomparable beauty. Liu Qingge definitely sounds like a protective older brother here, but also,
"Ha ha, did little Liu Shitty get people pinching his cheeks and commenting on his face too?"
"Yes,"
Liu Qingge says. Zhang Qinghua laughs again. "Such a quick answer."
"It hasn't stopped."
"Ha! Sorry, Liu Shitty. That sounds very difficult,"
Zhang Qinghua says, calming himself, not for the first time, actually pretty grateful for his comparatively average face. Then, because he's curious, he asks, "What do you think about a veil?" Liu Qingge shrugs.
"It's her face."
Has Liu Shudi ever considered wearing one? Zhang Qinghua is mildly, maybe morbidly, curious here. He has wondered what Baichan Peak's war god would look like if he tried to dress up like Proud Immortal Demon Wei's original Liu Mingyan. Wondered about that a lot when he first met Liu Qingge as a disciple, having no other frame of reference for one of his protagonist's son's big three wives than to imagine Liu Qingge in a veil. Liu Qingge gives him a droll look.
"No."
"Ha ha, fair enough."
Across the garden, Liu Mingyan pauses in her dramatic, sword-shaking speech to make Luo Binghe take a few steps back, because he apparently isn't positioned correctly, before she continues talking.
Oh, Shang Qinghua does not have to wonder where she got that sort of bossiness.
Does, Mingyan have a lot of friends at home?
Shang Qinghua asks.
Liu Qingge shrugs again.
Mother says she should make more.
Ah. Another mention of Madame Liu makes Shang Qinghua have a terrible thought. It is an absolutely terrifying thought. It is a thought that makes him want to run in circles, shrieking in terror.
Liu Shudi, he says, deathly serious. Does Madame Liu know that you have your sister? Does she know that you brought Mingyan here for a play date?
Father said it was fine.
Shang Qinghua thinks. What the fuck? That is not an answer.
Luo Jiahui comes back with more tea and sets it up on the little table outside, serving the three of them. Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge thank her, just in time for Liu Mingyan to march up to them, with Luo Bingha trailing after her.
Gugu, we need a fire demon. You can be the fire demon.
Fine,
Liu Qingge says. Liu Mingyan's discerning eyes travel over Shang Qinghua, judges him unworthy. Fair enough, before landing on Luo Jiahui.
Auntie Jiahui, you can be the tree spirit princess, she declares.
Oh, all right then, Luo Jiahui agrees, amused.
The fire demon has to kidnap the tree spirit princess now,
Liu Mingyan instructs next.
Auntie Jiahui, you need to act afraid of Gugu.
Afraid? Luo Jiahui repeats, taking a seat and smiling at Liu Qingge, who hasn't gotten up in favor of smiling back at Luo Jiahui.
But he looks like such a nice fire demon to me. He's not. He's very mean,
Liu Mingyan says authoritatively.
Luo Bingha nods. The meanest!
Liu Qingge says.
And ugly,
Liu Mingyan insists, scowling at her brother.
Are you sure?
Luo Jiahui teases again. I think he's very handsome. Shang Qinghua is the oldest person here, counting both lives, but he's pretty sure that he's making the exact same disgusted expression that he thinks Liu Mingyan is making under her face covering.
Ah, flirting between his sister-in-law and younger martial brother? Weird! Still weird! Never not weird!
Liu Qingge looks like he's trying to remain relatively impassive, but he's still smiling, which is making Luo Jiahui turn a little pink herself. Luo Bingha hops from one foot to the next uncertainly, catching his mother's attention.
But not as handsome as Bingbing, of course,
Luo Jiahui says quickly, reaching out to tap her son on the nose.
My Bingha is, of course, the most handsome.
Liu Mingyan apparently decides to skip over all of this.
Gugu, you have to kidnap the tree spirit princess now, so that we can rescue her.
Why am I doing that?
Liu Qingge asks.
Because she is the most beautiful princess in the world.
Ah,
Liu Qingge says understandingly.
But the tree spirit princess says that he's the most handsome in the world, so shouldn't I steal him instead?
Liu Mingyan and Luo Bingha both frown.
What?
And before anyone can react further, Liu Qingge launches forward and scoops up Luo Bingha. He throws the boy effortlessly over his shoulder and takes off through the garden. Bingha shrieks in surprise and drops his toy sword, kicking uselessly, in that the kicks land, but war god Liu Qingge doesn't seem to notice the blows at all.
That's not how the story goes!
Liu Mingyan howls after her brother.
Gugu, let him go!
Come rescue him,
Liu Qingge calls. He tosses Luo Binghe into the air and catches him again, then takes off before Mingyan can come and kick him in the shins with what looks like all the resentment in her 9-year-old heart. While Binghe shrieks in what looks like overexcited delight. Ah, Shang Qinghua thinks fondly, looking after them. Liu Shidi really is a doting older brother. Aloud, he says, Liu Shidi is good with children, huh, sister-in-law? Luo Jiahui frowns at him. Shush. Ah, okay, okay. But you should put that under very handsome on your list of good qualities he has, Shang Qinghua insists, then laughs when Luo Jiahui's frown only deepens. Ha, just kidding, just kidding. Anyway, did Liu Shidi ask before bringing over his sister to visit? He did, Luo Jiahui informs him, still pink around the cheeks. He asked me months ago if it would be all right. I told him that it was. Oh, good, Shang Qinghua says. Sister-in-law should, be more careful if Liu Shidi ever tries to bring his mother to visit, okay? I need some advance warning for that, please, as much as you can give me. Luo Jiahui looks amused again. I'll keep that in mind. That's not a promise, sister-in-law, Shang Qinghua points out. It's not, Luo Jiahui agrees. So cruel. Across the garden, Liu Qingge finally drops Luo Binghe, making sure that the boy is steady, back on his feet, before dodging his sister's attempt to gut him with a wooden sword. Luo Binghe wobblingly tries to grab Liu Qingge's feet to hold him still, but Liu Qingge jumps over him and snatches up Liu Mingyan next, running away with her now. Liu Mingyan screams. Luo Binghe eagerly snatches up her fallen toy sword and gives chase after them. Given that Liu Qingge regularly takes on the rest of Baichan Peak and hands everyone their own asses, young Liu Mingyan and Luo Binghe have no chance of taking him down. But they're trying their best. Oh, very ambitious is the next generation to be challenging a war god already. Binghe asked me something very interesting the other day, Luo Jiahui says, a little suddenly and much too casually. It puts all of Shang Qinghua instantly on alert. Because that's the sort of voice his disciples use when they're about to tell him that a very important warehouse has flooded or that a whole bunch of temperature control arrays have failed. It's the same voice that his contemporaries use when someone just delivered several carts of what may or may not be completely worthless crap and the merchant who delivered them has gone conveniently missing. It's the voice that his fellow peak lords use when they're about to tell him that they need him to supply them with something that's only found at the bottom of a dark pit, which is at the bottom of a lake, which is underneath a mountain, which is in the demon realm. Ah, good, interesting? Shang Qinghua asks warily. Luo Jiahui thinks about it. Oh, no. She has to think about it. Interesting, she repeats. Oh, no. What did he ask? Well, it happened after Binghe was playing with Tingting and Anyue's children because they were talking about how babies happen. Oh, Shang Qinghua says, absolutely horrified. He's not explaining the birds and the bees to a future stallion protagonist. Nope, he really can't do it, for too many reasons to list. Isn't Luo Binghe way too young for that sort of talk anyway? Luo Jiahui really can't ask this of him. I've explained to Binghe that it takes two people to make babies. Usually, a totally unhelpful part of airplane shooting towards the skies, brain offers him. through the overwhelming relief. Considering some of Proud Immortal Demon Wei's many plot devices and inconsistent mechanics, babies don't always need two parents to happen. Sometimes just one. Sometimes three. Sometimes more. Airplane shooting towards the sky really has, a lot of weird crap to answer for in this world. I've also explained that sometimes people's birth parents die or have to go away for some reason. Luo Jiahui continues. So some people only have one parent, or no birth parents, so they have to be looked after by someone else. Binghe knows that I found him in the Luo Chuan River. Luo Jiahui seems to want a response to that. Yes, Shang Tinghua says. Luo Binghe has thankfully never seemed bothered by this at all. The protagonist is going to have a lot of surprises later in life, but at least he's not going to have to deal with suddenly finding out that he's adopted, too. He already knows that much. Did Binghe ask about his birth parents? Shang Tinghua realizes. Shit, that's actually worse than the birds and the bees. He hasn't figured out how to have the humans and the demons talk either. Shang Tinghua hasn't even figured out how to broach the truth of Tian Langjun and Su Xian with Luo Jiahui, much less the 6-year-old protagonist, because no matter how he tries to script it, it's just not an easy problem. Seriously, what is he supposed to say? When a heavenly demon emperor and a sexy Huanhua palace sect cultivator fall in forbidden love, sometimes they make an OP half-demon, half-human protagonist baby called Luo Binghe? No, he's not saying that. So he's not saying anything. Luo Jiahui shakes her head. Not yet. Binghe knows that his birth parents have passed away, and he hasn't asked about them at all yet. Oh, Shang Tinghua says, too relieved not to show it. Luo Jiahui, watching him closely, definitely notices. So, what did he ask? Well, Binghe knows that Granny Sun isn't my birth mother or your birth mother. I told him that she was just a friend of the family, Luo Jiahui explains haltingly. Somehow, Binghe took that. Binghe asked me if Granny Sun found me in a river too, or if she found me elsewhere. Shang Tinghua blinks, then laughs. Luo Jiahui smiles. That's too cute, Shang Tinghua says. He was very disappointed to hear that Granny Sun did not find me in the Luo Chuan River, too. Luo Binghe agrees. However, her smile quickly turns strained, and she says, very seriously and very quickly, I would like to take Binghe to meet my birth family. If Shang Tinghua had been taking a sip of tea right now, he would have totally choked on it. That would have been the end of him, for sure. What? Unfortunately, Luo Jiahui does not look like she's kidding. She looks very, very, very earnest about this. Oh, fuck.
New mission. The past, present, and future of Luo Jiahui.
Oh, fuck you, system bro! Shang Tinghua thinks immediately. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you! Get out of here! Go away! Fuck off!
Mission importance, mandatory. Penalties for failure.
Shang Tinghua has not enjoyed the complimentary system upgrade, which had been conveniently scheduled for the middle of the night about 4 years ago now. He woke up the next morning with a pop-up window informing him that the upgrade had been successfully completed, followed by another pop-up window welcoming him to his revitalized transmigration experience and congratulating him on his upgraded character role. He screamed,
very loudly that morning. He may have thrown some things, too. And screamed a lot more.
Stupid fucking no-good system.
The system changes haven't... They haven't always been bad. Sometimes they're just very, very weird. Mostly, though, they totally suck. He gains and loses points in strange amounts, randomly, for unknown reasons. The answers the system gives him are super vague and don't have any real details. Character relationship development. Plot hole expansion. Character motivation development. Work it out yourself what that means, says his no-good system, more or less. Xiangqing Hua has not been great at keeping track of the notifications or analyzing what they mean. He spent the first bit post-upgrade trying not to panic over the return of something that felt a whole fucking lot like the return of the fucking OOC lock. Every pop-up window sent him spiraling. It was bad. Now he mostly keeps himself sane by telling himself that it's always extremely small point shifts, and that he overall seems to net more points than he loses. The increased number of missions helps with that. Mission progress is an easy one to work out. The increased number of missions, though, they suck. Oh, man. 1,001 flowers for Liu Qingge? That mission definitely improved Xiangqing Hua and Liu Qingge's unexpected broship. With Xiangqing Hua's exhausted approval offered, it advanced Liu Qingge and Luo Jiahui's blushing relationship to not exactly not courting. It improved Xiangqing Hua's relationship with Tian Qiao, Peak Lord Mu Qingfang, and garnered some measure of respect from the other Peak Lords. It netted him a nice number of points, but also, it totally scarred Xiangqing Hua for life. It sucked. What the fuck, system bro? Not cool. Then there'd been the artifact and information retrieval missions for Mo Beijun, who has been weird. The various missions with various Peak Lords for Tiang Chong Mountain Sect, which are usually very fucking weird, on top of being incredibly stressful. There have been some cute Anding Peak Disciple and not-so-cute Anding Peak Cultivator missions, which are barely less stressful, and a couple of missions to do with the residents of Sanqiao Town, who are Luo Jiahui's friends, which are also stressful, but usually in a slice-of-life kind of way, which is usually better than the life-or-death kind of way, so that's something. There's also the ongoing, mandatory, very plot-relevant mission he currently has right now, helping Yue Qingyuan. Seriously, what the fuck, system, bro? Xiangqing Hua is in the middle of a martial family mission. He doesn't need this one, too. Some people say that life is just one fucking thing after another. This was, admittedly, very true about the original Proud Immortal Demon Way. One formulaic fan service plot after another. One monster plot after another. One wife plot after another, so that airplanes shooting towards the sky could eat noodles and pay rent. Xiangqing Hua's transmigration experience, this second life of his, has not been like this. The fucking things overlap. He still has all of the Peak Lord duties he had before. Oh, this is what he gets for daring to wish that he could have a vacation. He gets a mission instead. Fuck. Xiangqing Hua clears his throat. Jiahui, are you sure about this? He asks. When you parted ways. I know, Luo Jiahui says softly. I'm as sure as I'm ever going to be,
I think. Even with how we parted ways, things have changed. Things have changed for me. So maybe things have changed for them too. I want to speak with my parents again and see if they can ever forgive me for how we parted ways.
Xiang Qinghua somehow doesn't think Luo Jiahui is the one who needs to be forgiven, but okay. He knows that in many places in this world, and in his last world, in the eyes of many people, it doesn't work like that.
I've made a good life, Luo Jiahui says determinedly. I have a good son. My luck was bad before, but then brother-in-law came into my life and he helped me. Even if my parents still don't want to see me, I want to know that they're all right. I want to see my siblings again and see that they're happy and doing well. I've gone so long without knowing, and so have they. I miss them. I hope they've missed me. And even if they haven't, I still want them to know that I'm all right.
Well, Xiang Qinghua can kind of understand that. He can understand a fuck you victory tour. He can respect a fuck you victory tour. Proud Immortal Demon Wei, in fact, had a lot of fuck you victory tours. However, Xiang Qinghua is pretty sure that this is not going to be that. He's also pretty sure that this won't end without a lot of crying all around. He's pretty sure that it won't be good crying either. If sister-in-law really wants to go, Xiang Qinghua says, even if the system wasn't flashing in his eyes, he doesn't think that he'd be able to say no. Xiang Qinghua isn't actually sure that he's ever told Luo Jiahui no when she's asked for something directly. Fuck. Luo Jiahui doesn't ask for many things directly is the thing. He hasn't been able to get in any practice at refusing her face-to-face like this. Xiang Qinghua would say yes even if the system wasn't butting in.
I have to try, Luo Jiahui insists, then smiles. Thank you, brother-in-law. I would like you to come with us, if you have the time, to keep us safe on the road, and in case things don't go well.
Xiang Qinghua nods. He really, really doesn't think that things will go well. If they were going to go well, the fucking system wouldn't be involved.
See what I can do, he says, already thinking through all the arrangements he's going to have to make to get that sort of time for family matters. He thinks that he can swing it, but it might be costly in various ways, and Yue Qingyuan probably isn't going to be happy about it.
Better now than next year, though. Xiang Qinghua can miss some of the event planning now, probably, so long as he assigns things to the right people. He can make his excuses to Yue Qingyuan and, to Mo Beijun. He can do this. It'll be fine. It's just one more mission to do.
How soon does sister-in-law want to go? He asks. I'd like at least a week to let everyone know, Luo Jiahui says thoughtfully. My friends and my customers and the disciples at the clinic. Granny's son says she'll watch the house, but I'd like to travel as soon as you can make yourself available for the journey. Please, Huage, I don't want to waste any more time. Time is so precious.
Yeah, all right, Xiang Qinghua says, only a little weakly. Okay.
Mission objective. Meet Luo Jiahui's family.
Thank you, Luo Jiahui says.
What is family for, right? Xiang Qinghua says cheerfully, and a little miserably. There's no way out of this. They finally look back across the garden. Liu Qingge isn't carrying either of the children anymore, and is instead perched on the edge of a roof, looking extremely amused, while his younger sister shouts at him about cheating and Luo Binghe brandishes his toy sword in agreement.
Get down from there, please,
Luo Jiahui calls. Liu Qingge does a backflip off the roof, because he's an asshole like that, and then scoops both Liu Mingyan and Luo Binghe up in his arms. No amount of wriggling, kickling, giggling, or screaming gets either of them free from the war god of Baichan Peak. Liu Qingge only looks annoyed and slightly pained when Liu Mingyan starts brutally yanking on his hair like she's trying to tear it out.
Mama! Uncle! Save us!
Binghe shrieks.
Oh no, it looks like we'd better help, Luo Jiahui says.
I'm not getting in the middle of that, Shang Qinghua protests. I wasn't even given a part in the story. It's up to the Tree Spirit Princess to save the day this time. Good luck with that terrible fire demon, though.
Uncle, please?
Luo Jiahui looks at him reproachfully and says,
he said please.
Oh, well, if he said please, that changes everything. At Luo Jiahui's urging, Shang Qinghua reluctantly gets up to go save the young protagonist with her. Might as well enjoy being able to do that while it lasts.